Good evening. It is good to see everyone that has been able to come back out this evening. Our number's down a little bit with those who are having to be away. After somebody mentioned something about Dave, I remembered him telling me this morning that he and his sister are having to swap out and watching over his mother, and so he was pretty sure he wouldn't be able to be here this evening, and he's probably up there with her, and then, of course, with all the other things as well. So let's continue to remember them in our prayers. I mentioned last week about Janet Willis, our friend in Tennessee, that she had had surgery. And as of the last email that I received, she is still in the hospital. But the doctors were hopeful that if she's able to keep the food down, and this is the first food she's going to be getting in almost a week, but if they could keep the food down and things go well, then she would possibly get to go home. So things are looking good there, and they believe that they got at least most of the cancer. So we appreciate your prayers on her behalf as we've been praying for so many. And it's just obvious through the results that some have had that the wonderful power of prayer, and we forget that sometimes and we take it for granted. And we need to remember God not only in times when we feel like we need Him, but often in times when things are going well. We began talking this morning, or continue talking this morning, about our dress and modesty and how it applies to the morals that we are to have. And as we noted in our lesson a couple of weeks ago, we shouldn't judge our morals by the world, but look at God's standard for morality and follow in with that. And we carried that on into our lesson and beginning to look at what mankind had set up. If you look there in Genesis chapter 3, there in verse 7, we see that they partook of the fruit. They thought they were naked, and so they made themselves aprons out of fig leaves. And when God came into the garden there in verse 10, they still considered themselves naked, even though they had clothed themselves with these loin coverings, these aprons. And God made them, as you look later in the chapter, God made them these coverings of skin. The kachonet is the Hebrew word, and it's where we get our term tunic. And it covered from the shoulders down to the knees. And this was the term that was being used by Moses in the writing of this. And so we can see that God provided them with a certain garment that, more than just the fact that it was made out of more durable material, it covered more. And when we look at things of what is pleasing to God, we need to look at it from His perspective rather than the perspective of the world. That's what we talked about some this morning, is how flexible can we be in the clothing that we wear. We looked at how short is too short, and we looked at the Scriptures and how it talks about there's to be a distinction between man and woman in our hair. And can we get so close to the line that we almost look like a woman, or should we try to stay further away as men? And the same reply applies to women. Can we cut our hair so short that we almost look like a man? Or, you know, these things we need to look at, and there's not a double standard there. It applies to both. And the same is true in our clothing. You know, do we try to get as far away from the line that God set forth and what He gave mankind in the beginning? Do we see how far we can get away from that, or do we try to stay along that line, or even maybe try to keep ourselves, you know, we need to make sure that we, as we mentioned this morning, seek the safest course, that we set the best example that we possibly can. We also looked at how many are confused by the false gods of this world. Many get caught up in popularity, and they want to look like those around them. And we noted that Joshua, in his closing address to the Israelites, he said, you need to choose whom you're going to serve, whether it's the gods here of the people that of the land in whom you dwell, or the gods of those that were across the river. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we need to keep that in mind. Are we going to follow along with the customs of the world and let them set the standard of what is moral? Or are we going to be like Joshua? Are we going to dare to stand like Joshua and serve the Lord by going along with what He has set forth? And others looked at it from the idea of comfort or convenience. Well, it's just more comfortable. Well, are we more concerned about our comfort physically or our comfort spiritually? Because let me tell you, no matter of abbreviated attire is going to help you in the eternal fires that are set up for those who live their lives in a lascivious way. Others say, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks. Well, Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. And we need to keep those thoughts in mind. And so as we continue on, and we can't compromise for anything, we noted the Israelites compromised with their building of the gymnasium there in Jerusalem in 175 B.C. You can read about that in 1 Maccabees chapter 1 and verses 11 and 14, where they built the gymnasium like the heathens around them. And we may note that the Greek term gymnasium means, it's from the Greek word gymnos, which means naked. and they would build an exercise place, and the Greeks would exercise naked. And you can look throughout the book of 1 Maccabees and 2 Maccabees and see where there were many who followed along with the things that the Greeks were doing and made themselves like the heathens and took on made themselves uncircumcised and hastened to the place of exercise. And so we need to be careful that we don't compromise our beliefs in any situation, that we always keep the Word of God as our guiding point, and that even when it comes to the culture and customs of the world, you know, we can adjust the styles and fashions, but we cannot separate ourselves from God's Word. And we must always keep all of these fashions and the things of this world in check according to the Word of God. And so let's continue our lesson this evening by looking at the effect of immodesty. Now, we're going to look at this primarily from the perspective of a woman dressing immodestly and the effect that it can have upon a man. But understand that this could be reversed. A lot of times we solely look at it from the women's perspective, and we go, I can't believe that woman would wear that, and the thoughts that she's putting in a men's head, and yet we see men dressing in provocative ways more and more and turning women's heads in just the same way. And so when we look at these, just because I've got the effect on the woman, the effect on the man, we need to understand that these things can be reversed. And first of all, let's look at the effect on the woman. The first thing we want to note is something that we've looked at several times, is that it violates the principles that are set forth in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verses 9 and 10. Now, we've looked at this, and so we'll look at it rather quickly. But he says, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. And so when we dress in an immodest manner, whether we be women or men, then we are not dressing as one who is by good works making claims to godliness. We're not adorning ourselves in proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. Let me ask you a question. If a man goes walking through a supermarket, so we're going to pick on the men a little bit. A man goes walking through the supermarket, and he's got on just a regular pair of pants and a nice shirt and everything, and he's just your average nice-looking guy. Is he going to draw the attention of every female in the supermarket? If he's just dressed maybe similar to what I am. Now let's take a guy and he's built rather well, and instead of wearing a button-up shirt, he's got on a tight wife beater. I hate to use that term, but that's what they are. And I think people need to know what these shirts are called, and maybe they quit wearing them. The old A-shirts is what they used to be called. He's got on, and it's tight, and his arms are ripped, and he's got the six-pack, and he's just a very nice-looking guy, and looked like he just walked off of a football team or something, and he's just the best-looking guy there is. He's going to turn some heads, isn't he? And he's going to cause some to perhaps think impure thoughts. Now, would that be what we would call someone who is dressed modestly or discreetly? If you're dressing solely to catch the attention of others, or if the attire that you're wearing is in such a way that it's going to catch the attentions of others, it is failing to keep the principle set forth of dressing ourselves in proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. And so we need to keep these things in mind. It causes us to violate the principles that we find here in 1 Timothy 2 in verses 9 and 10. And as we just noticed, it also causes others to stumble. In Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul, primarily speaking of the eating of meat, and there was a big problem with that, with the eating of meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And you know, those that knew that those idols were just rock, those that knew that there was nothing to that, that all that was good barbecued meat, they could, the strong Christians could go and eat it. But others would look at it and go, you're eating meat sacrificed to an idol, therefore you're taking part in the feast that they're having, and that's serving false gods. And so the Apostle Paul says it is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Now we need to keep these thoughts in mind when we look at ourselves in the mirror. If our clothing is a little too tight, if our clothing is a little too revealing, if we're showing things that we shouldn't be showing, what are others going to think about that? How are others going to feel about that? Are they going to look at me and are they going to lust? And some of us may think, well, I've looked at myself in the mirror and nobody's going to lust at me. You might be surprised. You might be surprised.
And so we all, old, young, fat, skinny, it doesn't matter, we need to think about the way that we dress and the effect that it's going to have on others, because we will be judged, folks, by the effect that we have on those that are around us. And if we are causing others to stumble because of the way that we're dressing, God will judge us for that in the day of judgment. In Luke chapter 17, there in verse 12, excuse me, it should be verses 1 and 2, got that wrong here. He says, and he said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. And so we need to think about the clothing that we wear. And if we dress in an immodest way and are causing others to stumble, if we are causing them to think thoughts they should not be thinking, the Lord Himself says it's better for us to take a big millstone. And folks, understand, this is not some little rock. This was used to crush grain. It's better for us to take a millstone, tie it around our neck, and throw ourselves into the sea than cause someone to stumble. And so whether it be the effect on the woman, the effect on the man, the one who's going out in improper apparel, he or she is not professing the godliness that we're supposed to profess in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 9 and 10, and we're causing others to stumble. We need to keep that in mind. Well, what about the effect on the other person? That beautiful woman comes walking through Walmart, and she's wearing a skirt that just barely goes below her backside. And instead of wearing an actual shirt, she's wearing a bra. They wear bras nowadays on the outside, not on the inside. You know, it used to be they were called unmentionables for a reason. And nowadays, they wear them as outer garments. Now, that person walks by and causes someone to commit adultery in his heart. He's at fault. He's committing a sin. Now, she is giving him the sinful ideas, but he is the one who is committing the sin here. In Matthew chapter 5, there in verse 28, Jesus said, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. When that thought of, well, I'd like to be with her, that's adultery, folks. That thought of, well, I wonder what the rest of her looks like uncovered, that's adultery, that's lust. And we've already committed a sin. We need to be careful with these things. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 11 said, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. But it's becoming more and more difficult, isn't it? Have you turned on your TV recently? Watch any of the popular television shows and you're going to have somebody come across, a female's going to come across with a skirt too short, a guy's going to come across without his shirt on, and they don't put guys like me on TV. That wouldn't make much in the way of ratings, would it? They're going to put an attractive man on there and they're going to cause us to commit adultery in our hearts. And so we need to understand that the effect of immodesty upon the opposite person, and it plays both ways, folks. We can find that if we are doing this and we're causing others to sin, then we are not abstaining from every form of evil as we are told to do in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. We need to be careful in what we are causing others to do. How our immodesty is facing others and encouraging them in their thoughts. They did a Gallup poll that showed that more than 50% of young women interviewed dressed for men and not for women. They dressed for the sole reason of enticing the opposite sex. We need to understand that men and women are included in the word lasciviousness in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 19 as a work of the flesh. Now, if you look in other translations, it'll have the term sensuality. In the New American Standard Bible, in the King James Version, it has the term lasciviousness. And, you know, it seems that lasciviousness has a more evil connotation than sensuality today because, you know, everything's supposed to be sensual. And, I mean, you look at advertisements for hair care products. The old Herbal Essence commercials that they had, it's all about sex, folks. Sensuality, but it's wrong. And men and women are included in this. The idea of shameless conduct, that which produces lewd or evil emotions. A woman that would dress in such a way that would cause a man to lust after her is guilty of lasciviousness, and so is the man. And the man who would dress in such a way as to cause a woman to lust after him is committing lasciviousness, as is the one who's doing the lusting. It goes both ways. Well, what about families together? Well, we can dress differently around our families because families don't look at each other that way. Really? Have you read Ann Landers? Have you ever mistakenly paused for just a second too long on a Jerry Springer show? Incest is just not something that's found in West Virginia, folks. It's found all over. And it's a dangerous thing. And so we need to be careful not only with those that are out, but those that are within our family. And so we need to know the effect of immodesty, and we need to take it to heart, folks. And I encourage you to study on these things. And if you find that I'm teaching anything that is not found in the Scriptures, then tell me. And I'll make whatever corrections I need to. But if you find that these things are what the Scriptures are saying, then maybe we need to change the way that we look. Maybe we need to change the way that we dress. And so let's close out our lesson this evening by taking a look at modern dress. As we begin looking at modern dress, we want to begin by looking at conformity. Conforming to the things of this world. Now let's begin by looking at the Bible in Romans chapter 12. And let's begin there in verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to..." Wait, what does that say? "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so Paul tells us very bluntly, doesn't he? Don't be conformed to this world. Now we talked a little bit this morning about fashion, and that we can work with fashion as long as it doesn't keep us away from God, as long as these things fit in with what God has set forth for us. But it seems to me that more and more men and women, even Christians, have welcomed the chance to reveal the worldly and fleshly feeling in the name of fashion. When the miniskirts became and were first stylish, mothers shortened theirs and their daughters to such a point where they couldn't walk down the street without showing things, much less sit down or bend over. It became impossible for them to walk in public decently. And we need to understand that if you are conforming to the styles of the day, then listen to what you're conforming to. This is a quote, folks. A quote from the creator of the miniskirt, Mary Quant, in November 13, 1963. She said, the person who made them, "Many clothes are symbolic of these girls who want to seduce a man." That's why she made them. That was her entire purpose in coming up with a miniskirt, was so that they could seduce a man. It gets worse, folks. In 1967, Mary Quant, fashion designer, she said, "Am I the only woman who's ever wanted to go to bed with a man in the afternoon? Any law-abiding female, it used to be thought, waits until dark. Well, there are lots of girls who don't want to wait. Many clothes are symbolic of them." Mini skirts, mini shorts, guys. It applies the same way all around. Abbreviated clothing is there symbolic of those who want to go to bed with a man in the afternoon. And let me tell you something, folks, she's not talking about her husband. She's talking about finding and trapping a man. We're going to look at it in the lesson, I would imagine probably next week. Biblical description of one who goes out and how they go out trying to trap a man in the middle of the day. In Time magazine, March 22, 1982, Valentino, the dean of Italian designers, argues that women feel the need for greater liberty. They want to seduce and flirt, and the new short skirts are wide and swing as you walk. Look at that last phrase. It's hide and seek. This is what these clothing are symbolizing. This is the reason these clothings were brought out. And when you're trying to conform to the fashion of the world, you're conforming to these things. You're following in what they set forth in the beginning. When you wear the abbreviated clothing, the short shorts, short skirts, it applies all the way around, folks. Anytime conformity overrules the precept of God, a Christian cannot conform. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were told, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And they said, we must obey God rather than men. These were the ruling parties, folks. This was the Sanhedrin court. They had the authority to put these men to death. And they said, we don't care what you say. We've got to obey God rather than men. And folks, we've got to have that in mind. Instead of conforming to the world, let's conform. Don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, being transformed into what God wants you to be. Well, let's look at swimsuits. That's the biggest problem, isn't it? Don't worry, I'm not going to show you any pictures because it's just not possible. I'd have to go back to the 1900s to find a picture of a swimsuit that I feel comfortable putting up here, folks. It didn't take long to where they began to become too short or to become two pieces or to become one piece. Swimsuits offer the excuse to expose more of the body in public with absolutely no shame, whatever. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between a two-piece bikini and bra and panties? You don't know what the difference is? Usually bra and panties cover a little bit more. That's the only difference. With the modern bikini, the way that most of them are, remember I talked about that itsy-bitsy yellow polka dot bikini? It's now just the polka dot. It's reached a point where it's not just a G-string, it's just a string, folks. Things have reached a point where they're not covering anything. Strippers cover more than people wear out on the beach. And Christians are following suit. We need to be careful with these things. Most do not go to the beach or pool solely to swim, but to be seen. And it's obvious in what they wear to the beach. Oh, but if you wear a swimsuit, it's more streamlined. You don't have as much, you can swim better. You know what? You're more streamlined if you're naked. You're gonna take that excuse and follow it on into where it logically ends up. Folks, we've got to think about these things. And quit making excuses and let the Word of God set the standard for us and follow it. You know, if we spent half as much time studying the Word of God as we do trying to come up with reasons or excuses for us to do the things that we want to do, we would be walking Bibles. There wouldn't be a person in here who couldn't quote every scripture if we just took the time to study the Word of God rather than try to come up with reasons or excuses. Do you think mixed bathing would be as popular as it is if it weren't mixed? You ask guys why they go. In James chapter 4, there in verse 4, the author James says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Titus, in Titus chapter 2, there in verse 14, the Apostle Paul writing to him said, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds, not for going out and stripping in public. Jesus Christ died for us so that we could be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now let me ask you a quick question. Wearing a Speedo for men, is that proclaiming the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness? Let me ask you a question. If you go to the beach and wear the abbreviated attire of the beach, that which is normally accepted, would you want to be wearing that when the Lord returns? Would you want Jesus to see you in that? You see, these are the things that we need to think about. In Newsweek, 1969, said the skin game is in full swing on the stage, screen, and in the streets, and nowhere is it played with more splash than on a summer beach. Essentially, it's a spectator sport where fashion is frivolous. Bathing suits are more celebrated for what is uncovered than clothes. The one-piece bathing suit has been rediscovered. And they're not talking about going back to the one-piece of the 1900s that had the skirt that came down to your knees. That's not what they're talking about, folks. They're talking about bottoms. The monokini. Just bottoms, folks. In Ladies' Home Journal, 1983, said, make a splash in a bearing, daring, next to nothing mullet. You'll find this season swimsuits have sexy lace-up back sides. They're cut high on the thigh for a long, leggy look, plunged toward the derriere for a revealing rear view. Now, is this the description of the clothing of a child of God? But yet, this is what many are wearing when they go out, because that's the accepted clothing on a beach. And they want to fit in. They don't want to look odd. They don't want to look strange. Well, I don't want to be the only one out there in shorts down to my knees and a t-shirt on. I look silly. Well, you know, Jesus, when he was hanging on that cross, didn't look the most sensible, folks. He kind of stood out from everyone else around him, didn't he? He even stood out amongst the other criminals because he was there unjustly. And he did it. Why? So that we'd have freedom to go out and to wear something that's sexy and high on the thigh for a long, leggy look and plunging toward the derriere for a revealing look. According to the official version, the modern bikini was invented by French engineer Louis Riard and fashion designer Jacques Haim in Paris in 1946 and introduced on July 25th at a fashion show at Christine Molitor in Paris. That's southern French there, folks. It was string bikini with a G. It was a G, string bikini with a G-string back. It was named after Bikini Atoll, the site of nuclear weapon tests a few days earlier in the Marshall Islands, on the reasoning that the burst of excitement it would cause would be like the nuclear device. Riard's suit was a refinement of the work of Jacques Haim, who 2 months earlier had introduced the Atom, named for its size, and advertised it as the world's smallest bathing suit. Riard split the Atom even smaller, but listen to this, could not find a model who would dare to wear his design. He ended up hiring Micheline Bernardini, a nude dancer from the Casino de Paris, as his model. There was no self-respecting model that would wear what he wanted her to walk out on the stage on, and he had to go and get a stripper who was used to going out in public in less to wear it. Folks, this is 1963, 1945. You don't think that they've progressed a lot further since then? And by progress, I actually mean digress. They've gotten smaller instead of bigger. They cover less instead of more. We need to think about these things when we allow our daughters and our sons to go out to the beach and wear the things that the world is wearing. Because remember, if we wear these things out, we not only sin ourselves, but we're causing them to sin. And we'll be held accountable for those sins. And remember, it's better that a millstone be hung around our neck and be thrown into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And so we need to keep these things in mind in our swim attire. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the beach, folks. I'm saying it's difficult. You don't get to go to the prettiest ones because that's where everybody's hanging out in their skimpy attire. But you can find some not so bad beaches where you and your family can go out in proper attire and have a wonderful evening. I've done it many a time. It takes a little more work. And like I said, the beach may not be quite as nice, but you'll be pleasing in the sight of God. And we need to keep these thoughts in mind. Well, it's not just the swimsuits, but what about the shorts? They're getting shorter, aren't they? The mini skirts are no longer mini, they're micro minis. Micro, that means they're smaller than they were before. And you're sitting there thinking, well, how can they get any smaller? I remember when I was in high school, they weren't allowed to wear shorts, but they could wear mini skirts. And we thought they were too short then, and now they're even shorter, folks. Low-cut dresses, skirts with slits all the way up where there shouldn't be a slit. Men going around without shirts. Improper clothing. Well, there's the argument about being too hot. Well, it's not valid, folks. It's so hot, it's not a good time to be preaching this lesson. It's cold outside. Everything's going to be covering up. But, you know, summertime gets here and the temperatures get up in the 90s. Oh, it's so hot. I got to take off some clothing. You'll remember, this is why I like cold weather, because you can always put on more clothes, but in the summertime you can only take off so much, can you? But it's hot. I need to take off more clothing. There was a study done by the Army And it's kind of a humorous study, but they did it. And they had a group of men go out in full army attire and do their regular run. And then later, at the exact same temperature, all these things was set just the same. They went out naked, all of them, and ran. And they checked the heat index for both times. Now, the heat gain of one's clothes was 120 calories an hour. Guess how much the heat gain was for when they were naked? It would be less, right? Nope. 200 calories an hour. You actually are hotter in no clothing than you are in clothing. And another interesting thing, I was doing some investigation last night trying to get some more updated things, and I come across the Army Institute's study and instructions on the soldiers going to Somalia. It's hot there, folks. Okay? So this is what they were telling them to wear. This is from the U.S. Army. Said uniforms should be worn to protect against sun, wind, sand, and insects. Wear the uniform properly. Tuck in the trousers and, what's that? Roll down the sleeves. Use hats, head cloths, goggles, and sunscreen. Heat strain will be reduced by shielding the body from the sun and hot sand. Wearing the full desert or hot weather battle dress uniform reduces water requirements by limiting heat gain. It's a lie, folks, that wearing less clothes keeps you cool. Now, you feel cool. I'll not deny that. But your body actually burns more heat trying to cool you off than if you just put on more clothes. Now, as I was reading, I noticed that there were the Bedouins in the deserts, you know, where the head-to-toe black robes. And they were like, these people are crazy. And they've been out there for thousands of years. You'd think they would have flopped over to white. And so they did a test. And because they were wearing these black, loose-fitting robes, they actually stay cooler. It creates a convection that causes the breeze to flow underneath the garments to where they stay cooler. So actually putting on more clothes. I'm not talking about putting on your down winter jacket, folks. But wearing loose-fitting linen clothes is cooler in the summertime than going out in nothing up top and shorts. It's scientific fact, folks. And we need to keep that in mind. Reader's Digest, in an article entitled Nine Ways to Beat the Heat, said one was to wear clothes. Well, here's a hot topic. What about pants? Pantsuits. Now, it's kind of obvious that I'm not talking about men, right? It's acceptable for men. It has been acceptable for a long time. As I mentioned before, did you know in the 1800s that the term pant was an improper term? It was an unmentionable term. You didn't say pants. That's how far we've progressed since then. But what about pants? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, this is where most people go to. Deuteronomy 22, there in verse 5, it says, a woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing. For whoever does these things, it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Now, with the stance that most people take on this passage of Scripture, my dreams of owning a kilt one day are out the window. And half of my wife's closet needs to be thrown out as well. Now, they go to this passage of Scripture and say, it's not right for a woman to wear man's pants. Well, if you phrase it like that, okay, I'll agree with you. Man's pants, for an Israelite, because that's who it's being written to, right? This isn't written to us. This is written to the Hebrews, to the Israelites. This was a command given to them. Now, let's go and look in Romans. In Romans chapter 15, there in verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So there's a reason why God set these things up beforehand, and we need to look at these things. What was being set up here? Once again, we're looking at a distinction between the sexes. We're looking at a distinction between men's clothing and women's clothing. And there needs to continue to be a distinction today. Take a lesson from God's attitude toward the distinction of the sexes. I'm going to tell you flat out, I don't think it's wrong for a woman to wear a pantsuit. My wife has several. I don't have a problem with a woman wearing pants. Wearing pantsuits. that are designed for a woman. But we need to remember that there is a distinction between the sexes, as was Paul's point there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we know there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him, but if a woman has long hair, it is a glory for her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. There's a distinction between the haircuts for men and the haircuts for women. It's a dishonor for men to have long hair, and it's a lack of glory for a woman to have short. Paul is talking about a distinction. And so I do caution you, I won't say it's wrong, but be careful about shopping in the opposite sex's clothing department. Because we see how God felt about it in the Old Testament. And I'm not saying it's wrong, folks. But we need to think about these things. Now, is it wrong for a man to go to Scotland and wear a kilt? Everybody says, well, that's a skirt. Yeah, it's wrong. No, it's common attire for men in Scotland to wear a kilt. Now, judging from what we've already talked about, I would not wear it in the true Scottish way. But it would not be wrong for me to own a kilt and wear a kilt, just like it's not wrong for my wife. Now, it would be wrong for me to go down to JCPenney's and buy a plaid skirt and put it on. It would be. The thing that we need to understand with pants is the skin-tight clothing that is used, well, let me rephrase that, used to be primarily used in women's clothing. But you know what? It's getting harder and harder to find a pair of breeches that'll fit. You get them to fit in the waist and they're skin-tight on my legs and on my hips. And you'd think the waist was a little bit bigger, but it's not. And it used to be you just saw women walking around the malls, but skinny pants are in for men as well. Skin-tight clothing is improper, and it violates the principles that we read at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Think about it when you put it on, when you wear them. Are you wearing something that is proper clothing, modest and discreet? Is skin-tight clothing discreet? No. It draws attention to the backside, doesn't it? And yet you'll have those who will criticize people for wearing clothing too short, but yet they walk out wearing something that shows more than the miniskirts. We need to think about these things. And once again, it applies to men as well. Well, let's quickly look at some criteria to use when we go to get dressed in the morning. When we go to prepare ourselves to walk out the door, let's ask ourselves first and foremost, would I be embarrassed if Jesus saw me wearing this? If He were to come right now and see me wearing what I'm wearing out in public, would I be ashamed? Now, if you answer yes to that, go back to the closet and find something else to wear. It's that simple, folks. That really should answer it all. But does my husband or my father regard this as being modest? Or does my wife or my mother regard this as being modest? What would my family think about it? Would I want my father to see me wearing something such as this? Would this tend to be lascivious? Remember, lasciviousness is one of the works of the flesh that is spoken of in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Would this tend to be lascivious in nature? Would it cause someone to have sensual thoughts, sexual thoughts about me and what I'm wearing? Would this clothing lead another to commit adultery in their heart? Remember, Jesus said, I pity that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her already has committed adultery with her in his heart. Wearing this, if I step out, is this going to cause people to have impure thoughts about me? No matter which sex I am, folks, it applies both ways. Does such dress befit a woman or a man professing godliness? Now, we've looked at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and we note that it's talking about women, but note that first word there, likewise. Well, that means there's something before this that carries over into this, doesn't it? And so let's go back and look at verse 8. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and there in verse 8, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Just before he starts talking to the women and how they're to dress properly, he talks about the men and how they're supposed to act. And he said, likewise, or in a like manner, the women, they go hand in hand, folks. Both passages apply to both sexes. We need to keep that in mind.
Really, both of these things are interchangeable in their application. Now, with that having been said, and I appreciate your patience and long-suffering, as we said this morning, God-fearing people cannot abandon the required virtues of modesty, sobriety, and shamefacedness, no matter what the crowd or fashion may suggest. In Proverbs 11, verse 22, we read, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman or a handsome man who lacks discretion." They lose all credibility, folks. People don't look at them as someone to be really thought of as a great thinker or anything other than just an object of desire. When parents fail to call a halt to themselves and their children regarding fashion, saying, "Don't you walk out of my door wearing that clothing," and then checking their bags, oh wait, no, parents aren't supposed to invade the privacy of their kids. While they're living under my roof, they have no privacy, folks. Face it, Brooklyn. I tell Austin, but he's asleep. As long as you're living under my roof, there is no privacy. I'm not saying I'm going to follow you around everywhere you go, but I am very concerned with what you wear outside of my house and after you're outside. Because, you know, kids are sneaky. They'll sneak other clothes out underneath and then change. It goes back to being a proper parent, actual parenting. I kind of had a little rant going on with Halloween and the fact that my kids are relegated to a certain length of time because some parents don't want to actually parent their kids at Halloween. And therefore, I'm not allowed to send my kids out when I want them to go out, when I can go out with them. Because my kids are not going to go out by themselves. Parents, be parents. God gave those kids to you for a reason. Fathers, they were given to you so that you could bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Mothers, they were given to you so that you could teach them to love their husbands, to love their children, to be good people. To be honest and sincere in all that they do and to serve the Lord. The Bible clearly teaches that shorts or skirts exposing the thighs. Note, I'm not saying that skirts are wrong. Note, I'm not saying that shorts are wrong. I'm not drawing a line. These are things that the Word of God has to say, and we have to look and let God direct us. But if our clothing is exposing the thighs, it's exposing the middle section, if it's exposing the top section in an improper way, it's not modest dress. And let's remember that that idea of modesty is not just having everything covered, but having it covered in an orderly fashion. Remember the difference between the garments made by Adam and Eve. They were still ashamed. They still considered themselves naked because their clothing only covered their loins. And look at the clothing that God gave them. And they were not ashamed of those clothes. And let's keep that in mind. If we stumble in error, we must confess to God and correct the sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we are told, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And as I mentioned this morning, if we are wearing clothing out in public, we can't say that it's a private sin, folks. We can't. It's not. It's a sin that has been committed out in public and it has brought shame and reproach. If you're wearing improper clothing, you need to come forward and confess your sins to God. Perhaps you've never obeyed the gospel. If you're not a Christian, then why not follow through with what Ananias told the Apostle Paul? He says, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." Now is the time. There is no other. Now is the time. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.